You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry. See it to be it on Radio Kerry with Ian O'Connell.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. This is the sixth episode of a series that I've been doing over the last couple of months called See It to Be It, brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by Commissioner Man with the television licence fee. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Tony Coffey. Tony currently serves as a community health worker for the Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development Project. In this role, Tony supports individuals facing any challenges that they may encounter, and it's important for other travellers to know that they're there to support them and that seeking help is a sign of strength and not a weakness. Despite the challenges Tony has faced, he went on to complete his junior and leaving certificate and is currently in college in MTU studying social care. Sit back and enjoy the show. Tony, thanks a million for joining me today. How's life with you?
Thanks for having me. Life's good now. Busy out this week with Traveller Pride.
Very good. And you were saying before we came on, that's on for the whole week.
It's on for the week, yeah. So we have our launch in the Kerry Museum this week, which is tomorrow.
And will there be like certain kind of marches and stuff, or is there...
No, it's just we're opening a Kerry Traveller Heritage group in Cider.
Is that the first one in...
That'll be the first time Travellers Heritage would be displayed in
Galway.
The Kerry Museum, yeah. So it's there for the month.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the first time, is it?
It's first time, yeah.
Very good. So you're busy out with that.
Ah, yeah. We're delighted to have it.
I suppose I like to always ask my guests at the start of the interview just to kind of paint a picture for the listeners. What was, I suppose, life for you like growing up? Did you, some people, you know, are mad into sports, other people don't like sports at all. What was life for you like growing up?
It was good. I did play a bit of football. Now I played for Milltown Castlemaine throughout my primary school time, but now if I was any good is another question.
Do you enjoy it?
But I played, I did, I loved it, yeah. I just loved the interaction because of coming from Milltown, it's a small village. Yeah. There's not many people there, there's not much to do. So playing the football was great.
It was great, I suppose. And football's great at that age to kind of make friends and stuff, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, it did help with making friends.
It does. Yeah. And it's great, you know, and I always say in the show, kind of, I suppose, encourage any children to get into sports, whether it be hurling, football, or whatever age, under 10s, under 12s, you know, it's great to...
Oh yeah, it's great for the head and it's great for making friends.
It is.
Yeah.
I suppose the interview is kind of based on your sixth episode on the series called See It to Be It, basically for the listeners, they've heard the other ones. It's basically talking to someone that kind of stands out and is an example to others like yourself, I suppose, coming from the travelling community, and you kind of went on to do your junior cert, leaving cert into college, and like, I suppose, growing up in the travelling community, would that have been common going into junior cert and leaving cert?
It wasn't as common back in the time, yeah. But it is getting a lot more common.
And I suppose it's more common, a lot more common than before, so is it?
Oh, yeah. It is getting more common in our community. I think the travel community, there is an increase in recognising the value of education. There are still barriers that we face. For example, some parents may lack trust in the education system due to their own negative experiences or distrust stemming from systematic racism. Additionally, there's often a lack of support systems in place to help students navigate the complexities of academic pursuits, and ongoing cuts to supports, particularly for the travel community, make it even more difficult for young people to access the resources that they need to succeed. But despite these obstacles, I did complete my leaving cert with other members of the travel community.
Very good, and I suppose that was kind of an example to others as well in the community when they kind of saw you going on to do it, was it?
It is now. It's getting more common because of more travellers completing it.
Yeah.
I suppose now we have the children looking up to us and wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And seeing that there is great opportunities out there when you complete your leaving cert and continue on to third level education.
And I suppose there's a lot of, would there be a lot more resources these days as there was back then for, I suppose, people in the travelling community, but even people, I suppose, that may have learning difficulties in general, there's a lot more resources and help out there in schools, isn't there?
Well, no, there's actually a lot more cuts being put to the Travel community.
Is there?
So the sports, like, we are lacking sports. Like, when I was back in there, I always kind of had that support system in place. But now what we're seeing is, over these new cuts that keep coming in, that the cuts are additionally being added to the Travel community. So with less supports, we're having less kind of children wanting to stay in school.
Really?
So we need to put supports into primary school to engage with the Travel community in order for them to continue on to secondary school. And additionally then on to third level education.
And like, it's only right, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely, yeah. Everyone should have a fair opportunity.
They should, 100%. And like, some people, like for myself, school wasn't for me at all. Like, I didn't really enjoy the academic side of things.
I didn't enjoy it myself.
Some people love it, like, and I suppose it's either for you or it's not school, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. You're either, like, as I always say, you're into sports or you're into the books.
Yeah.
So, and at the time I'd say I was into neither.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
did you have any subject, I suppose, that kind of stood out to the others that you enjoyed?
Geography was always my favourite.
Really?
But like, my strongest would have been maths, although I enjoy geography a lot more.
Yeah. It's, I suppose, history now, I wouldn't have liked it all. I loved woodwork.
Woodwork,
did you have any woodwork or metalwork in your
metalwork
school?
Metalwork I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, I enjoyed it. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm good with the hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, I was actually better on the books.
The books.
As much as I enjoyed it. Metalwork a lot more.
Yeah, and I suppose it's great to have the likes of woodwork and metalwork as kind of practical subjects besides being in the books all the time, isn't there?
That's the thing, you need a break from the books.
You do.
Yeah.
100%. I suppose growing up in the travelling community, do you think that, I suppose, travellers, and like, I'm sure you'd agree, sometimes they can be, I suppose, like, misunderstood or marginalised by people, can't they?
Yeah, well, growing up, like, I often felt that the travel community was misunderstood and marginalised. Many people didn't take the time to understand our life and our culture. And as a result of that, we've always been judged unfairly. There are many stereotypes and misconceptions about us, which leads into exclusion and discrimination. It's the lack of understanding that creates the barriers and makes it hard for us to integrate into the wider society.
Yeah. And like you said, integrating into society in general, do you think that there's sometimes a lack of people in the travelling community to, I suppose, start up going to football teams and other kind of stuff like that?
That's the thing, like, we're kind of like, we're afraid to engage with activities and services because of, like, the long term of discrimination that we experience and just the lack of kind of isolation and not wanting to be there or not wanted in places. And then that makes it harder for us to actually want to engage. So I would say, like, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
We're kind of not wanted at times. And then because of that, the services that we could use and, like, joining sports clubs or homer clubs, we don't want to because of that experience of discrimination.
Being afraid of it happening.
Yeah.
Did you have any, I suppose, negative experiences growing up in maybe school or in society in general?
Yeah, well, in primary school, like, I did struggle to make friends. Yeah. And it was just the small things, like being invited to birthday parties.
Yeah.
I was always that one child that wasn't invited. Because I've grown up in Milltown, like, I'm from a village. And
a small place in
Milltown. It was. And we were the only traveller family in there at the time. So I was always just the only traveller in school.
Yeah.
So, like, I always had to face the isolation and, like, just that discrimination. And as a child, I didn't understand what I was doing wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I was just who I was, and I was wondering why I wasn't picked or I wasn't liked. So it was a lot harder.
And like you said, Milltown, it's such a small area. Like, in, like you said, you were probably the only travelling community family in the area at the time.
Yeah.
Did you, I suppose, like you said, you were so young at times you didn't kind of realise it. But you, looking back now, did you, I suppose, struggle any bit with, I suppose, not mental health, but in general, did you struggle as you got older to see maybe that's why I wasn't being included?
Yeah, well, I did kind of going into secondary school.
Yeah.
Because, like, I used to be always called out on my name and my ethnicity was always attacked and my culture. So the common names that we all know that travellers get called.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bullying going on. So I actually went to 3 secondary schools because I had to keep on moving because I just couldn't take the pressure of the bullying and the name calling.
Really?
Because I started to realise why I wasn't liked.
Yeah.
Because of who I was. And that just made me then not want to be in that school. So then that makes my, like, results drop.
Yeah.
I could see like that my grades were dropping, my mental health was just decreasing, it was going negative. So I had to keep on moving to try to escape it. But every school I went to, I experienced the same. So there was no escaping it as a teenager.
And like going to three different schools like that, going in different groups of people every time, isn't that?
That's the thing. Like, and as I said, like I struggled to make friends as it is because of who I was. So going to three secondary schools where I, like if I make a friend, I was leaving again.
Yeah.
So I was constantly, you know, just trying to fill in.
Fill in, getting friends and then moving to another school to a completely different group of new people.
And it did make it very hard for me to stay in and complete my leaving cert.
Like you said, grades then kind of affects your own life academically as well then, doesn't it?
I do, absolutely, yeah.
And like, do you know, it's important to give that message out like that. Do you know that you felt like that and there's probably other people out there now, maybe people in the travelling community that might hear this. And they might be in the exact same situation. And the likes of this interview now, do you think that it's, I suppose it's important to do an interview like this to kind of get your story out or your experiences to help others?
It is, yeah, because like if there's other travellers listening, that, as you said, like could just be teenagers listening.
Yeah.
Or could be their parents. Like it just shows that it is possible to complete your junior cert and your leaving cert and continue on to third level.
Yeah.
You know, we are able for it. And if we can just kind of like make more awareness to the wider society.
Yeah.
That like we are who we are and they have to accept us for who we are.
And have the support system in place, like
exactly,
you said.
Yeah. There's a lack of support for us. So
everybody
makes it harder.
Everybody deserves the opportunity to go to school just as like everyone else.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where the equality and equity comes in.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We were saying there about mental health and I'm gonna touch on it later on. But I suppose men in general, Tony, they're kind of reluctant to talk about their own mental health. Even I've had a few people on the show that have struggled with their mental health and they're males, but males in general, I think in the wider community find it harder and they don't speak out and they kind of wear a burden on their shoulders. In the travelling community, do you think that people are reluctant to speak out about their mental health as well?
Well, the same, like the wider community, it's the males that avoid going to services. And it's all this stigma around men and mental health.
Yeah.
And it's what needs to be changed. And this is what like interviews like this to show is like I've accessed services for my mental health growing up. And I have as an adult. And it was very important for me to develop.
Yeah.
And men just need to realise there's nothing wrong with looking for help.
Absolutely.
We all need it at some stage in our lives.
Yeah.
And because you're male or female, it does not matter.
Doesn't matter. And like, do you think that when somebody does, I suppose, reach out and speak to someone, that kind of takes half the weight off their shoulders, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, absolutely. It's a weight off your shoulders.
It is.
Because when you're talking through your problems, you kind of start to realise that, look, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
And I'm strong enough for this.
Yeah.
It's just talking out to somebody that's there to listen to you.
100%. Is there a lot of other, I suppose, services and I suppose there's different mental health, I suppose, charities and services out there. Is there anyone specifically for the travelling community in general?
Well, let's say a lot of travellers would link into us to seek support.
Yeah.
And what we do is kind of we signpost to the general support system that's in place for the wider society.
Kind of go through you to go...
Yeah, because they're more comfortable reaching out to us where they feel like they won't be judged.
If they go straight to the... Yeah. I suppose moving on then from college and going to different colleges and stuff, you went on to do third level, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I went to Trinity.
Do you want to speak to me? And like Trinity, like that's a huge college, isn't it?
Oh, it is massive.
I was only on the grounds once. I can look around, even inside in the kind of, I don't know what you call it, kind of like a courtyard. Or it's huge.
Oh, it was a big step in from the village in Milton.
It was.
Yeah.
Going up three or four steps to the house.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What was your, I suppose, experience like in Trinity? What did you study?
I studied deaf studies.
Yeah.
So like that, as a traveller up in Trinity, because of it being so wide and, you know, so open, that there was like a lot less discrimination.
Yeah.
Because there was a bit of everybody there.
Yeah.
Which I loved about it, because everyone was just equal. Everyone was just struggling with exams and assignments.
Yeah.
We were all in it together.
Did you find this that you were older then, Tony? Did you find it easier to, I suppose, connect with people and make friends?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm more confident in myself now.
And the world is changing as well, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Like, they're slowly starting to accept more and, you know, there's awareness being made now.
There is, and that's vital, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah, massively, yeah.
Are you studying at the MTU?
I am. I'm studying social care now.
At the moment.
Yeah.
And what's the MTU, I've done a few talks up there, like we were saying before we came on here, actually. I done a talk for the social care in the MTU when you were in the class.
I was indeed, yeah.
I am. It's gas. I was in there and I was looking up, the kind of lecture halls were so big.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, compared to like smaller colleges. I went to Kerry College to do the broadcasting course there.
Yeah.
And it's great to have different, I suppose, opportunities like that, social care. Like before you got into where you're working now, we'll touch on that in a minute. Did you see yourself going into social care, or was it something that just came about?
Well, I always wanted to do deaf studies.
Yeah.
That was kind of my main goal, and that was going to be my career in kind of the future.
Yeah.
Like, I picked the deaf studies because I have a sister and a brother that are deaf, and I see there's a lack of support for the deaf community as well. Like, there's a lack of sports, there's a lack of interpreters in this country. So that's why I always kind of saw myself. But then, seeing the wider society, there's a lot more issues than just that.
Yeah.
So social care was always that kind of link into being able to access the wider community and supporting the wider community in the issues that are going on.
Yeah.
And have been going on for decades.
And like, that's, it's all important, isn't it?
Oh, it is massive, yeah.
And is there,
it's needed.
After you finish this course in the MTU, is there something that you'd like to advance on and do then?
Well, I'd like to kind of work with marginalised groups, like what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But I want to work with the wider community as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to just cut off one community from a different community, because that's what I'm fighting against.
Yeah.
So,
kind of be for both then.
Yeah, it's kind of just human rights is like my priority.
Yeah.
But I would love to work with the youth is kind of now, like, I have a youth group in Shenacadle I'm in partnership with.
We were saying that actually. We'll touch on that now, actually, before we move on to where you're working now, that group. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm just in partnership with the Shenacadle Resource Centre. So there's a youth worker up there, Carl and Colleen. She's brilliant. She's been my youth worker growing up.
Really?
Yeah, so we made connections with them and I met the youth group. It's all males and it's a mixed group. They're travellers and they're settled.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it's important, isn't it?
Oh, I thought that was amazing when I seen that it was a mixed group.
Yeah.
Because there is like groups specifically for travellers.
Yeah.
But I think, like, in order to integrate, we need to mix.
And that just goes to show, Tony, when you're mixing like that, it doesn't matter if you're in the travelling community or not, there's people that are not in it as well in that group, and it's all mixed together, like, do you know?
Yeah, oh no, it's brilliant, and they're a great group of lads. They recently now, with Creative Ireland, they produced a rap song.
Oh, so
the video is being worked on now at the moment.
Really?
So we're planning on releasing that in June. But you did a fantastic job. I love the rap.
Really?
Yeah.
And is there a variety of ages there, or is it anybody?
It's a teenage group, yeah.
Teenage,
and it's open to everyone.
Very good. And people can, I'm sure, find out about that online, can they?
They can, yeah. It's on the Shenacadle Resource Centre. Or you can contact either them or Kerry Travellers.
Yeah.
And we can guide you with that.
And the rap song will be coming out soon, like you said.
It will, I'm delighted, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to hear that. Moving on to, I suppose, life now. You're currently, you're community health worker for the Kerry Travellers Health and Community Project. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, the listeners that might not have heard about it?
Yeah, so in my role as community health worker, like, I encounter a range of challenges that people in our community face, such as education, with many individuals struggling to access quality education due to various barriers. Health is a concern with us, as access to healthcare services and cultural sensitive support can be limited. Advocacy is crucial in my role in addressing systematic issues and fighting discrimination, which unfortunately is still prevalent in many areas of life. Providing support advice to individuals navigating these challenges is essential for improving their overall well-being. My goal as a community health worker is to address these issues holistically, working to provide like education, health services, signposts and advocacy, and support and empower individuals in our community in whole.
Absolutely, and there's, like you said, a variety of people that come to you with different challenges that they might be facing. Is there any certain, I suppose, challenges or area that you have spotted over your time working there that people seem to be struggling with?
Well, I suppose overall, like every community now, mental health is kind of like, it's rising, as we know. And travellers are 6 times more likely to die of suicide than the wider society.
Go away.
And we only represent less than 1% of Ireland. So if you compare those statistics, it's mental. The rise is up. And it keeps on rising.
6% you said?
6% more likely to die of suicide, yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
It's a shocking statistic, yeah.
Isn't it?
And this is why there needs to be more support to put in place to support travellers.
That's a mad stat.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's mental.
Mental health, like it's all, it's, like you said, it's all frowned upon and kind of brushed off these days. It's not talked about half as enough. Mm-hmm. In your role, like we said about you going through education and to second and third level education and to working here now, do you think that personally you're a good, and I think you are, and I've, Fiona Stack here was recommended that to get someone like you on was very good as well. Do you see yourself, I suppose, as a kind of an example of seeing it, be it for others to kind of look at you and say, I can go into second and third level education as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I like to consider myself a bit of a role model for the younger
100%.
Generation. It just shows them that with hard work and the support that we need, you can access education, you can access third level, you can go on to get a job that you dream of doing.
Yeah.
And everyone has a dream of doing something. And it's just really, like, if there's enough support in place for us, then we all can achieve that.
100%. Did you have any, I suppose, negative experiences before you were working here, I suppose? And I'm sure a lot of people in the travelling community have experienced things like this, I suppose, applying for jobs and kind of getting turned away. Have you seen this happening a lot?
Well, fortunately for me, I never really had issues with accessing any type
really?
Of work.
Yeah.
But see, from my experience in secondary level, I had to change who I was in order to fit in.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't work all the time, but it did help. So I always kind of hid who I was, my culture, my identity. So that, like, going into work then to the work market, it was fine. I wasn't looked at as a traveller.
Yeah.
And now with the travellers, like, we shouldn't have to hide who we are.
Of course, 100%.
That's the thing. So, but now when we go into the job market looking for jobs, it's, they look at us.
Yeah.
And it's an automatic no. We're kind of turned away just because of how we look.
Yeah.
Or the stereotypes that are around my community.
And, like, have you seen other people that maybe you know or in the community that have been turned away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's frightening, like, isn't it?
Yeah, and people have the experience and they have the qualifications.
Yeah.
I don't see the reason why you would be turned away. And then they're just turned away because of being a traveller. It makes no sense to me. Because services are actually losing out on brilliant people just because of the biases that they hold.
Do you think when people kind of hear the word traveller, it paints, I think when some people hear the word traveller, they automatically say no in their head. Like, do you know, it's just the word, I suppose, traveller, and like you said a few minutes ago, the other names that people are called. Do you think that people have the wrong, I suppose, misconception when they hear traveller, they paint a picture in their head completely wrong straight away?
They do, like, as you said, like, they paint, like, one person in the community could do something bad, and the whole community is painted with the same brush. Whereas if that's the case, it should be held in every community. You can't judge an entire community based on one person's actions.
Yeah.
And people need to realise that. And they do within other, like, their own communities and other communities, but they just don't for the Irish travellers.
Yeah.
It's just we're all bad in people's eyes. And it's not nice.
No, 100%.
And it makes our lives a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because then we're constantly, like, on social media, even in person, we're constantly being attacked because of being born into a travel community.
Yeah. And like you said there, actually, social media, that's a great point, Tony. It's something that I talk about a lot on this show, is I always think somebody, when they're joining social media, they should have to show ID, and everything you say then on social media is brought back to you. Like, there's good and bad of social media. Like, I myself, I share my own story since I had my accident, you know, my recovery, and that's kind of the good side of social media. But then there's kind of cyberbullying and things like that for everybody, but it's specifically the traveling community. Do you think that you get a kind of a bad rap on social media?
Oh, we do. Like, I'm on all the social media platforms, and I constantly am seeing, like, negative comments about us.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you see a good comment, but there is good comments out there as well, so that's important to note.
100%.
That it's not everyone.
It's not all bad.
Do you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
But there is, like, the percentage of it would be a lot higher bad than it would be good.
Yeah.
And it's just constantly tearing down our community and painting us all with the same brush, as I said.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes to, like, the bullying And I think particularly with the younger people now, with TikTok and everything else, I've seen a first-hand experience now myself. I have a niece who's on TikTok and she does all these dances and all the TikTok
same
things
my
now
cousin.
That I don't have a clue about.
They were trying to get me into the videos. I said, come here, my legs aren't working at all.
But now she receives horrible comments and she's only a teenager. Like, of people, nasty things I won't even repeat.
Yeah.
Calling her out of her name. And
Do you think travellers are reluctant then to go on it?
Well, now we still have a lot of travellers on the platform.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot of travellers that were going live and stuff, which are making money from TikTok.
Yeah.
Like everybody else that's on it. But having to pull out because, like, even go on the live.
Yeah.
If you go on a traveller's live, it's just nasty comment after comment.
Yeah.
And, like, it's hard for someone to be sitting there talking to her phone as it is anyway.
Of course, and see comments in like that.
That's the thing, like, yeah.
That just goes to, it's a completely new side of things, like, it's not right. I mentioned before we came on air here that I know Bridge Cooligan, she's a lovely person, like, she does a lot of kind of talking out and kind of advocating about, I suppose, the travelling community and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I done a talk in the, I think it was the KDYS in Killarney, I think it was, and she was there as well speaking. Is she, she's obviously, I suppose, someone that a lot of people in the community might look up to, and she does a lot of work for the travelling community, doesn't she?
Absolutely. Like, she's my manager, but she's also my role model.
Yeah.
I think, like, the work that she does is amazing.
Yeah.
And she puts, like, everything into doing something.
Yeah.
And, like, human rights are just hurting.
Yeah.
She's amazing at speaking out. She's amazing at achieving policies and showing that policies are true. Like, she's just amazing.
There's
no other word for her.
And it's great. Do you think, do you like to say you look at yourself as somebody that kind of can be like Bridget and somebody can look up to you?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's a good thing that she has people working for her.
That want
to progress so far.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of managers can do that.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of work throughout, like, I've been working, I'd say, about 15 years in different places.
Go away.
And I've never had a manager that I've been like, I want to be you.
Then Bridget.
And, you know, I want to be where you are.
Working where you are now, is it all different areas? Is it kind of all people in the travel community that work in the organisation that you're in now?
Well, it's not just travellers we have working for us. It's a mix.
A mix.
Yeah. And then we have, like, we have a housing officer, we have education.
Really?
So we cover all areas.
Yeah.
But, like, as a whole, we're a team and we support each other with absolutely everything.
And you're kind of over the mental health kind of side of things a lot, are you?
I would be. I'd be covering a lot of mental health now, but, like all of us, as I said, we all cover everything. We all support each other with everything. So one of us have one particular role.
Yeah.
Like,
varied out over everyone.
Yeah, the support is amazing inside there.
Yeah. When I was doing a bit of research on the place where you're working now, Tony, I came across that there's different kind of, I suppose, flags that the Yellow Flag program that two schools qualify for in Kerry, the Presentation Monastery in St. Oliver's Ballycashin, where I went to, there's kind of 8 steps to get that flag. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? Is it something that's common?
Well, it would be, like, in the travel community now, we have Christina Ballin. She's the Education Access Officer. So she's based up in MTU as well, actually. So she's the liaison officer up there.
Yeah.
So she deals a lot with the children that are going in secondary school.
Yeah.
It's kind of just she sports them into engaging into the Yellow Flag.
Yeah.
Which I think is an amazing program.
100%.
And you really see, like, people coming out of there with confidence.
Yeah.
And it does just kind of remove the fear of education and the discrimination.
Yeah. No, it's like you said, it's important. It's a great thing to have in schools and society. I wanted to ask you one thing about John, do you know John Connors, the actor?
I do, yeah.
He does a lot of speaking on social media, and, like, what he's gone on to do is unbelievable in the acting scene. Do you know what he's...
It is, he's a great actor, yeah.
He is. I've spoken to him once or twice through Instagram. A lovely person as well. Do you think it's good for people as well to see the likes of him?
That's the thing, because he's an inspiration for our community.
Yeah.
No, not just for our community, I think for anyone that wants to go into the acting work line. It's amazing just to look up at him and seeing his struggles in life.
It is.
And where he is now. And the fact that, like, he's not only an actor, but he's also such a human rights activist.
Yeah.
It's great to see, because he does have a lot of followers, I suppose, from all communities, and it's not just supporting us, he's supporting everyone, and it's great to see.
Yeah.
That he doesn't just pick one.
Yeah. He's gone on, he's been in a good few different different things now that I've watched. Do you have any interest in watching movies and TV series?
I'm not
series?
A big movie, no.
No?
I'd like to think that I would have the time for it, but
trying to find it is hard.
That's the thing though, yeah.
You have a lot of the likes of meetings today now, this morning, and in an interview like this. Do you wanna, before we finish up, do you wanna just touch on what you were at this morning? Have you anything else that you'd like to bring in to the show?
Well, I suppose it's just awareness is what, like, I'm here to create awareness.
Yeah.
And to just let people know, and for services to know that the tribal community needs supports put in place. We don't need no more cuts from our support system. We need people to just, like, realise that we're human beings, that bullying affects everybody.
Yeah.
It affects everybody's mental health. And, like, mental health doesn't discriminate. It goes for everyone.
Yeah.
But, as I said, those statistics of the Irish tribal community.
6%.
Suicide. It's crazy.
It's mad.
Do you know, and it's only rising. It's not decreasing. So what we need is people just actually accept us. We are who we are. We have our own culture, our heritage. We're very proud of who we are.
Yeah.
But we just need that support system put in place. We need more culturally friendly services. And for just social media, people just need to really stop with the bullying.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we have young people on it, and it's not good for their mental health. It's not good for my own mental health. It's not good for anyone's. But especially now, our younger people, you don't need to be targeted because of who they are.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to hide your identity when you were going for jobs growing up, and like that shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't happen.
You shouldn't have to hide it.
We should be proud of who we were, and I wasn't for many years because people were telling me I shouldn't be proud.
Yeah.
But in recent years, like, I've kind of engaged back with my tribal community. I'm proud of who I am, and, like, I speak out about that. I have no problem saying who I am now. If I have to go for a job interview, I'm not hiding my culture. I'm not hiding my ethnicity.
Yeah.
I am who I am, and people should accept me for my academic ability, my work experience, so my ability to work, and not just look at who I am as, like, a traveller.
There's a lot more to you than just being a traveller. Like,
exactly,
some people don't see that.
No, it's just, so the travellers, it's just, we're travellers and that's it.
Yeah.
They don't look into our back. They don't give us a chance to explain who we are.
Who you are. And, like, once they give you a chance, then they'll see who you are. Like, there's a lot more to you. Like, when you, I guarantee you, sometimes when somebody hears, like, say, a traveller, the likes of yourself, they don't know that you've gone through first, second level education, third level education, you're gone on working now, so they don't.
Yeah, I know, like, I'm back in third level education again,
like,
you know, and I'm doing it to support the wider community. I'm not just doing it to support travellers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm absolutely going to support travellers to the best of my ability, but, like, I'm not going to just cut off other communities that are struggling.
Yeah.
I want there to be support to everyone.
And that's only right.
Exactly. I'd love it if other people, not from our community and from our community, would just do the same and just not be judging us.
Yeah.
And have the stereotype and biases against us, and just be there. If you're going to support one person, you got to support the next.
Exactly.
Regardless of who they are or where they come from.
And like you said, when you're doing the social care now, after, for the wider community, not just the travelling community, you want to be there for others as well. And I think that's a very important point for, I suppose, that's why you're doing social care, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, it is, yeah.
It is.
The stigma surrounding mental health and travel community is complex, but much of it stems from our experience of discrimination, particularly within service systems. Many of us have encountered discrimination when seeking help for various issues, whether it's healthcare, education or employment. The history of being treated unfairly creates a fear of further discrimination, which can make us hesitant to seek support for mental health issues. Additionally, there's often a fear that admitting to struggling with mental health could reinforce negative stereotypes about our community, leading to further marginalisation. So while the need for mental health support is just as prevalent in our community as it is elsewhere, the stigma surrounding it creates significant barriers to accessing the help that we need.
Very good, yeah. And the job you're in, other community health work for Kerry Travellers, you said there's all the different kind of departments in there, isn't there?
There is, yeah. And we're found if anyone's looking for help.
If anyone's looking for help, yeah.
Where it's the Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development Project, and it's based in Tralee down in Aras and Phobail. And we can be found on Facebook or our website, And they can also contact us on 066-712-0054.
Very good. And I actually went on that website last night, Tony, that website that you just read out there. And like, it's brilliant. Like, I was going through, there's like a link for education, work, and then when you click into that, and it branches out into loads more different areas on the page. Like, it's a very, I suppose, well-structured page, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're great at being able to support a person and signpost them onto the services that they need. Because obviously we can't provide every service, but what we can do is we can support a person, find the service that they need.
Is there, do you have any other, I suppose, projects or anything coming up in that area that you want to talk about? That one at the moment now is the big one this week, isn't it?
Yeah, we have Travel to Pride now this week. So we have the launch now in the museum at 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it would be great for the wider community to come and see it, because it just shows our heritage and all of it's creating awareness around our culture. And I think if people come to see it and they'll hear stories from travellers, they'll see pictures of travellers throughout the years.
Yeah.
It'll be great for them just to get that awareness, and it'll just be more acceptance, I think, really, if you go and see it and realise who we are. We're not just the stigma that people have.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to us.
100%. And like you said, just touching on that point again about the running this week, do you think, we talked about mental health, and it's a lot of people, not just in the travelling community, everybody kind of is reluctant to speak out, especially males. Do you think that sometimes, I suppose, in the community, that travellers kind of, do they kind of reluctant to come out if they say, are they scared to come out as gay, do you think?
There is. Like, I came out as gay when I was 18, and there was a lot of backlash.
Was there?
There was. And even in college in recent years, I've had a few nasty comments because of, I suppose what I am is, I'm a minority within a minority.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot harder, but there is supports there. And I've engaged with the sports, and the traveller projects are great with accepting that there's no discrimination there towards anyone's sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, as we always say, like, we are who we are, and we can't change who we are.
Be proud of who you are too.
Exactly. And if there is members struggling, there is a lot of supports there.
Yeah.
And particularly you can come to me for supports if they need it. But it would be a lot harder if I think a traveller to come out, because of, we already fear discrimination.
Yeah.
And we already fear being who we are.
Yeah.
So then having the extra pressure on top of you of hiding your true identity again, it makes it a lot harder.
And do you, that service you were on about there, when you did come out, did you, I suppose, talk to, there's other people in the travelling community that maybe also have come out already. It's great to chat to somebody. I know in my case, when I had my accident, it was great to chat to somebody that had a spinal cord injury that have gone on now a couple of years later, and it was great for me to talk to him like that about, I suppose, what's down the road. And it goes back to the same like yourself.
Yeah.
It's important for people can talk to you about it as well.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's important for people to see that it's okay to be you.
Yeah, 100%. Very good. Tony, come here. Thanks so much for coming in today now, and I really appreciate it. That's, I think it's going to be a good, I suppose, insight for the listeners of what exactly the work you do. And I suppose goes back again to the whole point of the series, See It To Be It, it's called. And it's, you're personally, I think you're a great example for other people in the travelling community to look up to. And like you said, you look up to Bridget, she's an example for you.
She, yeah.
And like, you can be an example for others. So all the best with everything coming up this week, and thanks a million for coming in.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure being here. Thanks for asking us to be here.
Brilliant. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Tony for coming on tonight and sharing his own story. It's obviously, if you were listening, he's had I suppose himself and the travelling community, they face some hard times, I suppose, growing up. People, I suppose, not wanting them in their friend group, like he said, or getting turned down from job opportunities. But fair play to Tony, he's gone on to achieve something that a lot of people in the travelling community, like he said, does. He's gone on to do his junior and his leaving certificate, and he went to Trinity College, and he's currently in the MTU studying social care. So fair play to Tony, and it's brilliant to see where he is now, and he's working as well in a in the group that we were talking about. It's great to see that he's now employed by a group and he's working for them, and it's great to get an insight tonight into what that group provides. And he's over there, like he said, nobody has won the section that they're over, but he's focused really on the mental health and well-being side of the group. So fair play to Tony, and a massive thanks to him for coming in tonight, and I hope you all enjoyed the show. If you have any suggestions, questions or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, my Twitter is enoconnell00, or you can drop me an email on my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9pm. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
See it to be it on Radio Kerry with Ian O'Connell. You're listening to Standout with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8pm here on Radio Kerry.